Good morning, Mr. Egan.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
How are you doing, sir? We are broadcasting on KTFRN, so just a heads up, but we'll be back on Genesis here in a minute.
Not a problem.
How's everything down under?
Good, mate. It's cold, wet, you know, winter. What do you want? Creek's flooded?
Here we're having record heat. Death Valley is really living up to its name this year.
Okay. Yeah, it's quite cold here. I've got the Potbelly stove cranked up. It's good.
Ah, nice. Nice. So, did you have a chance to read over the document?
Yeah. Interesting document.
Okay. I figured we'd just go through it and just kind of break down some of the points because it is interesting. It is. And the amount of things that have come to pass.
People have to understand it's speculative, though. I mean, it's obviously it's a PowerPoint display. It's bullet points, and it's possible. It's suggestions of where we could possibly go based on existing technology. But it's like everything that I said in transformation. It's all there.
Exactly.
I told you. You know. So, anyway, when do we start?
We'll be back on GCN in about 5 minutes.
5 minutes. All right. Cool. Yeah. Give me time to make a cup of tea and put some more wood on the fire. But it's speculative, you know. But, you know, depending on who's in control of what particular section of technology, then it's, you know, that's where we'll go, you know. Nice how it's so based on warfare, isn't it?
It is. And we're the enemy.
It's all about warfare. Well, we are the enemy. That was just shown through the Edward Snowden case.
Of course.
Because, as I said on the last show, he was charged with espionage. And espionage is giving secrets to the enemy. What did he do? He leaked information to the public. That's us. We're the enemy. They just said so, you know.
It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Nah, it's opportunity. They don't scare me, these people. It's opportunity. They're scary people. They do scary things, but it's opportunity for people to here it is. It's in your face now. Everything we've been saying for the last 10, 15 years, well, here's the Edward Snowden stuff. You can't call it a conspiracy theory anymore. And here's the NASA document with everything that I said in transformation. Now, unless this is someone who's just seen my film and decided to put out a PowerPoint display, but I doubt it. It looks like it's an actual PowerPoint display with bullet points that would have been expanded upon during the presentation. And not only that, but it also goes to show, because they're even discussing something like this at NASA, it just goes to show that, as all the conspiracy theorists have been telling you, NASA isn't about space programs, it's about siphoning off money for black budgets. You know? Here it is.
Well, I mean, they tell you in their name, they've got NSA right in their name.
Well, yeah, but it's, you could say that, but yeah, you know, don't throw that at me too much. It's I only had 3 hours sleep, you know. So yeah, it's really early in the morning for me. I should be in bed. Well, not really. It's 8 o'clock, but I went to bed at midnight and just lay there till 3 or 4. The mind wouldn't shut down. So I've only had 3 hours sleep.
If you're tired, we can cut it short. So you know, don't feel obligated or anything, but. We're glad that you got up with us, though, for sure.
See how we go once we get into the flow. But yeah, I mean, it's all in your face now. All this stuff's in your face. So it just goes to show.
Well, this document here was written in 2001.
Yeah, okay.
So.
I mean, 701, yeah.
Right. Some of the things that we've seen, I mean, the majority of things up until this point are in this document. That's what really makes me look at this document even deeper. At first, I just dismissed it automatically and said, it's probably fake. But after doing some research, no, this is a real document. So, yeah.
Making a cup of tea.
I'm gonna go get some coffee, as a matter of fact.
I think what we're doing is we're falling into the trap of calling it a document because it's not actually a document. It's a PowerPoint display.
It's bullet points
for a PowerPoint display. It's not a document that actually tells you anything. It just gives you bullet points. And these would have been expanded upon by whoever was presenting the display to people, you know.
Right.
And like it says, it's designed to, generate insight, thought, and discussion, right? So it's like that. This is a presentation for a think tank. Okay, this is what we got. This is where we could go. What do you want to do? You know?
Right, right. This presentation is meant to incite thought. Discussion is based on all cases upon existing data trends, analysis, and technologies. No pixie dust, except for whatever they're snorting. And provides, in some cases, a somewhat broader view of perspective development and issues.
Yeah, perspective development, see? Perspective development.
Right, right.
What prospects are on the horizon?
Depending. Hold right there. I think we're back.
We go down, you know?
There's only one choice. One choice. To survive.
Tonight, I will speak directly to these people and make the situation perfectly clear to them. The security of this nation depends on complete and total compliance. Tonight, any protester, any instigator or agitator will be made example of.
Broadcasting worldwide from an undisclosed location high up on the Rocky Mountains, this is Truth Frequency Radio with your host, Chris and Cherie Geo.
Welcome back to hour number two. As promised, future strategic issues, future warfare circa 2025, capabilities of the enemy after next, ongoing worldwide technological revolutions, economical trends, potential nature of farther term warfare. And it's very interesting, as Max said during the break, if for everybody that was tuning in during the break, he mentioned that I just lost my train of thought because I'm going through here. He mentioned that the word enemy is very interesting, that they use the word enemy, they use the word warfare in all of their writings. The bots, Borgs, and humans welcome you to 2025 AD. And of course, the presentation is made up of all the usual suspects: DARPA, SBCCOM, DIA, CIA, many, many more. Australian DOD, Army After Next, National Research Council. This is a global plan. And this document here was written in 2001, which I find most interesting because a lot of these technologies are indeed being implemented. So, as Max said during the break, and we'll get him to elaborate a little bit more, but this is all a PowerPoint presentation that is meant to incite thought and discussion, is based in all cases, based in all cases upon existing data, trends, analysis, technologies, provides in some cases a somewhat broader view of perspective developments and issues. So this was a PowerPoint presentation. It was a theory at the time. But so much has been implemented that we've got to discuss this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's obvious that from what we've seen in the past couple of years, especially if you read sites like Science Daily, they're totally going into all of this. They're figuring out ways to desalinate ocean water to turn it into drinkable water. That's on Science Daily right now. They are coming up with ways to regrow limbs, to regrow eyes and corneas, to regrow body parts in general, to even just clone somebody or to upload your consciousness into a computer. That is actually becoming a reality. Now, it's not just science fiction. And I am very excited to have Max Egan with us to be talking about.
Potential capabilities is the future warfare issue. Not who, but what.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Max on the line with us. Max, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very well, Chris. Thanks for having me on. Hi, Cherie.
Hi. Glad to have you.
Definitely. Good morning to you, by the way. Tell us a little bit about the Crow House real quick, just for the audience tuning in.
Oh, what can I say? Everything that I do is on the Crow House. All my radio shows, I've got 6 films on there. It's just a truth portal, really. It's a lot of links to a lot of articles that don't belong on the site. You know, a lot of links to external sites. It's just a good portal for people to go to get a pretty broad overview of what's going on.
Excellent, excellent. And your latest film, Transformation, is available for free on your website, correct?
Yeah, they're all for free. All my films are there for free. And it's really interesting, this document that you're talking about, or this display, I think we're falling into the trap of actually calling it a document because it isn't a document. It doesn't provide any real insight into what they're talking about. It just provides bullet points and, as it says, a prospectus on what could happen depending on which direction we go down. And my latest film, Transformation, I mean, this document or this presentation virtually confirms everything that I told people was happening in that film. So it's quite interesting to see it. And like yourself, I thought this was fake to begin with. I thought, ah, this is probably just cooked up. You know, the NASA logo looks a bit sus and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly. That's what stuck out to me too. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's also some bad text alignment on, I think it's page 107. But when you understand that it's a PowerPoint display that's been converted into a PDF file, well, that explains why that looks like that. And as it says, it's a prospectus. And it's interesting, all the alphabet agencies and all the global plan that they've got, it says in the document itself, this presentation is based on futures work for and with these agencies. So here we are, we're doing this work, and these are the people we're going to be working with, and these are the possible directions we could go. And there's some really, really significant things with what's going on with this and what's going on with the whole global situation now with the whole Edward Snowden thing, that the charge of espionage against Edward Snowden. Because as I said in the break, espionage, to be charged with espionage, that's basically spying, giving secrets to the enemy. And what Edward Snowden did was he released information to the public. So according to that logic, we are the enemy. So it says here future warfare and you know, future enemies. And futures work. And so it's all here in this document, and it's quite a frightening thing really, but it's also a great opportunity for us because it shows us exactly what's going on. It shows us where they're going. And people that have been calling the alternative research community conspiracy theorists are really no longer now able to do so because with the release of this presentation and the Edward Snowden case, well, Edward Snowden has just shown you what they're doing. We've been telling you they've been doing this for years. Now here's the proof, so you can't call it a conspiracy theory anymore. It is a bona fide conspiracy, not a theory. It's a conspiracy fact, a conspiracy reality. And we've also been telling people for years that NASA is not really interested in sending tin cans up into space. What it is an organization that was set up basically by a Nazi think tank after World War II, and it's been used to siphon off money for black budgets for all of the alphabet agencies. And here it is. Here's the presentation that shows you exactly what they've been doing. So everything we've been telling people for years, here it is. So this is a great opportunity for the people to really see what's going on and be able to stand up and do something about it. Really notice what they're doing to us. I mean, it's quite frightening where they're going. And they're putting all this in the movies as well. I mean, you notice in the document it talks about uploading education instantly as well.
Right, right.
Cue the Matrix when Trinity wanted a flight plan for a helicopter, you know, just download one straight in there.
That would be pretty cool, though. I can go along with that one. The part I can't go along with is the fact that they have control over what goes into my brain and what comes out of my brain as a result of that.
Yeah, it's what they term education. That's the problem, you know. Education really isn't education, it's indoctrination. But they could do this by simply inserting a silicon chip into your brain and it'd be like a RAM drive. They could just upload stuff onto the RAM. So it's quite conceivable that they could do this.
The terminology that they use here, I don't know what page this is. This is page eight. Spaceship Earth. The crews are plundering the ship's supplies, tinkering with the temperature and life support controls, still looking for the instruction manual, engaging in bloody skirmishes in every corner of the vessel, and increasing the size of the crew by 2 million per week.
Sounds like Kissinger wrote that directly.
Right. Humans have taken over and vastly shortened evolution of the planet. Global warming, pollution, and deforestation, huge public works of the human species, genome design and repair, and products and life forms, cross-species molecular breeding, sounds like GMO, and splicing DNA, and doing everything that we're doing now. So this begs the question of who actually wrote this document. And I'm not talking about physically, but what perspective is this from? Because it seems like the globalists or the people behind these agendas are actually discussing how to stop what's going on in the earth and what the people of the Earth are doing? I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense in the terminology that they use. Spaceship Earth.
Well, I mean, a lot of people call it Spaceship Earth. That was a quote by, it says at the bottom of the page, Pete Crayola. So you'd have to look up who, it's probably Paul Crayola, Peter Crayola. You'd have to look up and see who that actually was, who made that quote. But I mean, it's true what they say. If you're really going to create a transhumanist agenda and create a transhumanist future, you need to look at things realistically. And realistically, that's exactly what we're doing. We are plundering the ship's supplies. We are tinkering with all the life support controls. We are still looking for the instruction manual. We've got no idea what we're doing. As I've been saying for years, this is a big experiment. Everything that they're doing, they don't have this set plan where they're going to take us in this certain direction. We're going to go in the machine. We're going to come out looking like this. They don't know what they're doing. They're infesting the environment with all sorts of toxins. They're injecting vaccines into people, and everybody's biology is different. They're introducing everything they can into the environment to just tinker with everything to see what happens. They are definitely still looking for the instruction manual. They'll never find it. They won't find the instruction manual until they manage to turn everything into one big machine. Then they'll be able to sit back and figure out how it works, you know. It's just like mad scientists in control of the world, really. So, you know, you'd put that there because you've got to look at it realistically. I mean, let's not sit back here and create this transhumanist future. We're not going to be able to do it by pretending this stuff isn't going on. So that, you know, makes the document a little bit more real. Adds a bit more credibility to the document, I think.
Well, you know? And Chris, where I'm coming from is it would be the same as if I was walking around my house – marking on the walls, banging stuff down, and then saying, you know what, I've got to do something about all of these people that are destroying my house. That's the perspective that I see, because you have all the usual suspects named at the beginning who are doing the genetic engineering and they're polluting the earth, and at the same time they're going to try to figure out how to stop it. I guess that's where the disconnect comes in.
Well, trying to figure out how to control it, to make it sustainable. This is what sustainability is all about. Sustainability isn't about creating a green future. It's about sustaining the experiment for longer. You know, and if they don't work it out and rein it in and fit some parameters in here, if they don't find the instruction manual, then we'll just implode. Because that's the way we're going. The whole species will implode if we go down the direction that we are. Right. This is why I've been saying what I've been saying for so many years, and this is why you've been doing what you do. And that's why when I look at this stuff, I say, well, here it is. This is an opportunity. Here we go, folks. All the stuff we've been telling you, here it is. It's right here, right now. Here it is. There's all the proof. What are we going to do about it, you know?
That's the big question, and I've asked this question many, many times, and I don't have the answer, but I'm hoping somebody out there does. What are we going to do about it? We'll be right back. The merging of man and machine. I mean, just listen to that music. You know, I mean, that is the merging of man and machine. How dare we play bumpers like that? Dubstep, my God.
Dubstep sounds like two Transformers arguing with each other.
No, it was an alien death threat.
Oh.
And we just didn't realize it, and so we started dancing to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they'll be back. Don't worry.
They'll be back.
Yes. Technological ages of humankind. Hunter-killer groups, million BC to 10K BC. What does BC stand for? Before
BC.
Control?
Before crap.
I know, I'm just kidding. I was making a joke there. Agriculture, 10K BC to 100 AD. Industrial, 1800 to 1950. IT, 1950 to 2020. Bio and nanotech, 2020 to ? The end game, the end result is a virtual world. And that's where they want to do. Hunter-gatherers defined as a nature provider or agricultural, controlled nature, plants and animals. We control plants and animals. Industrial, mechanized agriculture. IT, right. IT, bio, and nano is automation. And automating industry and agriculture, and virtual would be roboticized of IT, bio, nano, industry, and agriculture. So there you go.
Yep. Eight that I wanted to get into was Moravec mind children. And after looking it up, I actually found out that Moravec was a Jesuit who worked at Stanford Research Institute and came up with the idea for a book called Mind Children, the the future of robot and human intelligence. And the book outlines Moore's Law and predictions about the future of artificial life. He outlines a timeline and a scenario in this regard, in that the robots will evolve into a new series of artificial species starting around 2030 to 2040. In Robot, Mere Machine to Transcendent Mind, published in 1998, Moravec further considers the implications of evolving robot intelligence, generalizing Moore's Law to technologies predating the integrated circuit and extrapolating it to predict a coming mind fire of rapidly expanding superintelligence. I think that's what the military is going after with this, is super intelligence. They want to be God, specifically knowing what's going on everywhere.
Right. Well, some of the predictions they made here on page 18, we're seeing now. I mean, this has already come to pass. Quantum computing initially available in 5 years. We've got that. 15% of all power today is used by computers, which will reach 60% by 2010. We have that. Most of our electric consumption is by computers. Now, oddly enough, we're using less energy now than we were using back in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's off the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Wearable, implantable, on-person electronics, communications, computing, sensory augmentation, health monitoring, brain stimulation.
We already have that with treatment-resistant depression. You aren't responding to antidepressants and you're still sad. The doctor will literally put things in your brain that will stimulate your neurons to make you happy.
Well, you go on to the next page, and it says AI and beyond computing, the human brain characteristics and capability, 100 billion neurons, 100 trillion connections, 200 calculations a second, speed of neural circuitry, 20 million billion calculations a second, and excellent at pattern recognition, poor at sequential thinking, operates via random tries. Machine capability, currently 10,000 billion calculations a second by 2004. By 2010, 20 million billion is available, and by 2030, PC has collective computing power of a town full of human minds. So this is what they're ultimately wanting to do. The U.S. Human Brain Project, begun in the early 90s, funded by 16 organizations across 5 agencies, a.k.a. Neuroinformatics.
That's what James Holmes apparently
was into. Right, mm-hmm. Right. So what they want to do is create computers that are more powerful than the brain, and then soon a computer that is as capable as a town full of people. And they're going to have these capabilities, and they're going to keep you enslaved. We'll be right back. The Imagination Engine, a.k.a. Creativity Machine, a.k.a. Creative Agent. Current AI best bet, not a rule-based expert system. Generates new ideas, concepts via starving a trained neural net of meaningful inputs, forcing it to dream, cavitate, create new concepts. An attendant neural net used to capture, record, evaluate, and report on these quote-unquote writings. Now, if you really think about what they're saying here, is they want to remove the rules and standards given to a computer in order to formulate and calculate, and rather input – this is key here – input ideas, forcing the computer to come up with different scenarios, outcomes, and ideas. All of a sudden, we have Edward Snowden coming out with this NSA spying that has been going on for decades. They're taking every communication, every writing, every phone call, every time you talk. What are they doing with this information? The only thing that I can deduce is they are taking all of this information, inputting it into a machine, the imagination engine, and this machine is coming up with different scenarios. For instance, false flags, weather control, earthquakes, disasters, you name it. And it's figuring out how it's going to move their agenda forward, what type of resistance they're going to face, how to deal with that resistance, so on and so forth. Max Egan, any thoughts?
Well, that's a possibility. You could be inputting all of this data into something like the Cray computer. That would work. But if you look at it a little bit deeper here and you realize that this, what they're saying here, I mean, it's of particular interest that page, the imagination engine. But if you're coupling that with the previous page, which is the human brain project, right? They're talking about molecular geneticists, right? And it's changing the neuroanatomy of a brain. Now, if you look at it here, you know, starving a trained neural net of meaningful inputs, i.e. the five senses, and forcing it to dream new concepts. So you're forcing a brain to dream a virtual reality. It's the Matrix. You know what right. I'm saying? It's the Matrix. And they're telling you, and it's in all of the movies now as well. They're showing you what they're doing and where they're going. Have you seen the new Superman film?
I haven't. It was terrible.
It's got so much subtext in it. It's phenomenal. I've never seen a film with so much subtext in it. It's a work of art. It might not be good as a movie goes, but if you look at the subtext, Christopher Nolan really, I mean, this guy's got inside data with what he put forth in the Batman films, and now he's turned his attention to this Man of Steel. And you've got Superman's father, who is consciousness uploaded into a computer. You've got masses of nanotechnology doing, there's so much subtext, it's ridiculous. It'll blow your mind when you look at it and really watch what's going on in the background. They're telling you all the stuff that's in this document through the Superman film as well. They're really programming people into this future, you know what I mean? It's of particular interest, that page, because, you know, they're telling you they get a human brain and they starve it of meaningful input and they force it to create a virtual reality, basically.
Well, doesn't this remind you a little bit of the movie AI, Artificial Intelligence, where the entire point was to see if they could create a robot that could dream?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, it's a huge experiment, and the possibilities and the capabilities of where it could go, I mean, it's anybody's guess. What they're trying to do with this presentation is get their head around where they're actually going with this, because the possibilities are phenomenal. You know, if we had a sane society, then it could be really beneficial, but unfortunately we've got a world that's run by psychopaths and it's really not a good path to go down, you know. And it's really interesting with all of the things that they're talking about here, AI food and nanotechnology replete throughout the document. Nanotechnology through in everything, tags on everything. Everything is nano, the plants, co-opted insects, the whole lot, all nano. And there's no thought of permaculture or health or actually getting us back on track to where we could be. It's all looking at the problems we've created now and finding technological ways out of these problems rather than realizing that it's technology that's created all the problems to begin with.
That's true.
I can't help but think of a Terminator-style war that will eventually erupt as a result of this. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but you even take a look in Revelations, and now that we have the understanding of this technology, you can start to decode some of the things in Revelations. The appearance of the locusts, like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like the hair of women, and they had teeth, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots, and of many horses going to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails is their power to hurt men for 5 months, blah, 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 blah. It goes on like this. But now that I read this from this perspective, it sounds like we have some kind of little drones flying around doing facial recognition scans on people and zapping people.
Well, yeah, you've got to understand. I mean, Revelation is a script. It's right, not fiction. Right. It's a script, you know. But like I was saying, though, they're looking at everything from the wrong perspective. They're looking at it from this mad scientist perspective. On the global problems and solutions page, it talks about serious problems of energy, water, food, land, all this sort of stuff. We actually don't have problems there. If we did things correctly, we wouldn't have any problems there at all. You know, but we've got a society that always supports an economic model, and that's what's created all these problems, and now they're trying to find a technological way out of it. And it's all heading towards a virtual reality, basically.
I made this point yesterday. I don't know if you've seen the movie The 13th Floor, but the basis of that movie is that they have created exactly what they're talking about in this document or this PowerPoint presentation, and they've created this virtual world, and then you find out at the end of the movie that they're in a virtual world, and they've created a virtual world within a virtual world. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a very, very interesting movie, that movie. And it makes you think. It really does make you think. But yeah, that's where they're going with it. And it's great that it's come out, really, because like I said, I see it as opportunity. I mean, this confirms everything we've been saying. And it shows that the world's run by mad scientists. I mean, they're taking us in a direction we should not be going in. A lot of people are very attracted to transhumanism. A lot of people embrace the concept of expanded brain power and nanotechnology and all this sort of stuff. But they don't see the danger of the fact that someone else is going to be in control of this. You know, you get these add-ons and you get these implants. And you're putting your biological computer that is you, your house, you know, yourself, in control of somebody else. And that's what I view my body as. It's my house. It's where I live. I'm consciousness. I live within this vehicle. And if I give someone else control, if I put someone else in the driver's seat, then, you know, it's not really me anymore, is it? And that's where we're going. It's scary stuff. Stabilization of world's population, they talk about as well. Well, what's this all about, you know? And sustainability. It's always about sustainability. And when you look at sustainability, like I said, it's about sustaining the experiment. People think it's about greenery and it's about, you know, protecting the environment. It's not. It's about sustaining the current system.
Of particular concern, self-replication of brilliant robots, nano-replicators. So obviously they have – well, let me say this also, uncontrollable and uncontrolled self-replication. So obviously they do have a concern that these technologies will start self-replicating.
But of course.
They are creating self-replicating nanobots right now. And your film even goes into the idea that they could even be spraying these into the chemtrails and we're all inhaling all of this.
Well, they talk about that in this document as well. I mean, they are. If you look at some of the tests that people like Cliff Carnicom have done at the Carnicom Institute, where he's growing Morgellon syndrome in a petri dish, which is basically nanotechnology that's coming out of people's bodies, everyone's being filled with nanotechnology now. They talk about exploding nanotechnology. You know, certain dusts they could have people inhaling, which would bore into your lungs and basically explode from the inside. They've got all sorts of things. They talk about this type of weaponry, nano weaponry, smart dust, which is legal, they say, you know, because they write a new law to make it legal. That's how it's legal. That's all legal is. Don't get me started on that one. But anyway, you know, so they talk about all this, and they're doing it right now. I mean, that's what the spraying's about. Chemtrails is one of the hardest things to wake people up to. They just can't get their head around the fact that our government will be spraying us. They don't know why. Well, here's this document, and it tells you why. So, yeah, and it is of particular concern, and that's what I talked about in Transformation as well. I mean, everything that's in this document is stuff that I talked about in Transformation. You can see it because the studies that I've done show that this is where we're going, and now here we have a PowerPoint presentation saying exactly the same thing. But it's letting you know that it is an experiment. That's what people people think there's this big ruling hand that's got everything together and knows exactly what it's doing and it's taking this in this certain direction, but it doesn't. It's just throwing ideas around and seeing what it can come up with. And like I keep saying, they're just mad scientists that are messing with the human race. Everything they say back there when they say, oh, we're tinkering with this, that's all the stuff that they're doing, you know. And now they're just trying to see which way the tinkering is going to go, you know. There's just power mad megalomaniacs and this is where we're going if we don't do something about it. That's why I see all this as opportunity, because the more information we get as a public, the more opportunity we have to deal with the problems that we've got. And what we have to realize is that the people that are doing this are just people just like us. You know, we need not be scared of them. All we need to do is discover our own power, connect with the people around us and stand up and take things back in the right direction.
Right, these people are just crazy. Like Moravec and his friend Frank J. Tipler. They were both into the mind children and the hive mind and the wirehead mentality. And they were called mad scientists, literally, by their own peers, because they were just crazy. These ideas are insane. It is insane to want to populate the entire universe with nanotechnology. That's insane.
Well, it is, and now we've got people like Ray Kurzweil continuing their research and going down this direction. And look, people, when we talk about this sort of stuff, we say how bad this is. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, you're just against technology. Well, no, I'm not. I love technology. I think it's great. I'm sitting here talking to you on a computer right now from on the other side of the planet. I think technology is fantastic. And if, you know, our society was sane, it would be a really, really good thing. Some of the stuff we could do with this would be highly beneficial. But when you look at the state of the world today and you look at what these people are prepared to do, then putting this type of technology in their hands is the worst thing we could possibly do.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Truth Frequency. Page 41 of this document is pretty interesting. It talks about smart dust, cubic millimeter or less, combined sensors, comms, and power supply. This is the most interesting here. Floats in the air currents. Nanotags placed on everything everywhere. Identification and status info. Co-opted insects.
Oh, they're already doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this is the most interesting. Smart dust floats in the air currents.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think Max can elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, that's exactly what I was saying. In transformation, that's what they're doing. You know, you've got nanotech that's floating around in air currents, control the flow of clouds, all sorts of stuff. I mean, this is where they're going, and they're doing it already. I'll tell you another page that's very interesting, and this is page 35, where it talks about examples of IT Bio Nano, and they insert the brain of a sea lamprey into a robotic fish and create a robot that can eat food, basically. So they're turning you into the Borg. What will we see here? Through these clouds of nanotech that are floating around right now, getting into people's bodies right now, they are creating a Borgish future. Basically, what this document or this presentation ultimately is a transhumanist manifesto. It's the creation of the Borg is what they're doing. They present us with a Star Trek type future, but they don't tell us which side we're actually going to be on. You know, we're going to be the Borg under these parameters if they continue where they're going. But well, yeah, they're doing it already. I mean, they're already well underway with all of this. You know?
I'm glad you pointed out page 35 because there is something interesting here. The choo-choo, a flesh-eating plant, a flesh-slash-plant-eating robot that hunts, biodigests natural foods to live off the land. We're actually seeing this technology implemented on the battlefield nowadays where they have these robots that are – and Chris Everard pointed this out in his film Superstate. They're driving around and eating the bodies of the soldiers to power themselves. Have you heard of these?
No, I hadn't, and that's quite fascinating that they would be doing that. It shows how sociopathic this society has become that someone would even think of inventing something that would eat dead soldiers. You know, this is the future of our warfare. It's just absurd, isn't it? I mean, like you say, man, it's Terminator on steroids.
It really is. And now, you received a lot of backlash as a result of the ending of Transformation. Why do you think that is, and how do you think those people's minds have changed now that new information has come out to back up all of your analysis?
Well, hopefully they'll pay attention. Hopefully they'll want to do something about it. Hopefully they'll start getting involved in their community and start realizing what's going on here. We've got a group of mad scientists that are bent on controlling our future and turning us into a robot species. That's what they're doing. And they're doing it through organizations such as NASA, which, as I said, is not about sending tin cans up into space. It was designed to siphon money out of the U.S. economy into black budgets for all of these alphabet agencies to create this type of future. And that's what they're doing. So hopefully people will pay attention. As I said at the start, I mean, nobody can call any of this a conspiracy theory anymore. When you look at the release of information by Edward Snowden, whether it was a controlled release, whether it's alphabet agencies fighting with each other, whatever scenarios people are coming up with, that's irrelevant. You know, what it is it's proof of what we've been saying. And we already knew this. I mean, ultimately, he didn't release anything that you or I didn't already know, that any of the alternative research community didn't already know. And this document here doesn't contain anything that I didn't already know. Well, it contains little bits, like, you know, little interesting things that I didn't think of. But it basically, it's the same thing. It shows what they're doing, where they're going, how they're doing it. I would have loved to have seen the presentation that went with it. And yeah, hopefully people will realize that when I put out that film, I mean, I did go out on a limb when I made it. A lot of people said to me that I was very, very bold for putting that out there because it was so on the edge. But hopefully they can see now that I wasn't, you know, exaggerating. I was actually being very, very conservative in what I put in that film. I held a lot back, to try to present it in a way that, you know, people would be able to understand that it was real, you know?
Absolutely. Max, give us the websites real quick and where people can tune into your show as well.
The show is Surviving the Matrix. The website is thecrowhouse.com. They can find all of the information there. You can get the film Transformation there. I've got all my radio shows there in the radio archives. There's hundreds of hours of talking about all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's all there, thecrowhouse.com.
Excellent. Kiss the one you love right now. You never know when the last time is going to be. If you want to get another hour, you can head over to truthfrequencyradio.com. We love you guys.
Love you guys.
I was logging out of Hotmail earlier, and I stumbled across a headline, and I just kind of caught a glimpse of it. Jennifer Lopez sparks controversy as she sings happy birthday to a leader that has committed a lot of human rights violations. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, Obama's birthday isn't until August. But it's funny how people are up in arms about something like this, and everything that's going on here in the United States is all fine and dandy. Business is normal. Anyways, I'm not going to cover any of that. I just it was just funny that I happened to come across it. Anyways, let's get back to the subject at hand. We've got Max Egan on with us as well. Future Strategic Issues and Warfare, PowerPoint presentation by NASA. And it goes into nanobots, it goes into smart dust, it goes into pretty much everything that we're seeing now that Max has covered in his film Transformation. One of the interesting pages here, page 42, some explosive smart dust opportunities. Optimal positioning of explosive smart dust, air explosives, formation of explosive lenses, and infiltration of deeply buried targets. It's interesting. Infiltration of deeply buried targets.
Yeah, that's pretty fascinating stuff.
I can imagine if these smart dusts or these chemtrails are spraying the smart dust, this explosive smart dust on top of that. We all have this inside of our lungs, and we're walking around worried about them implanting a chip that can possibly be exploded whenever they feel like it. But maybe we're already walking around with this dust inside of us, and they have the ability to push a button and make you disappear. I remember in the 90s there was a phenomenon with spontaneous combustion. You don't hear about that anymore, but in the 90s they covered this extensively in this phenomenon of spontaneous combustion. I don't know if the two are related or not, but Max, any thought on this explosive smart dust?
Well, it's quite possible that some of that was related to experiments with this. If you look at the next page, it talks about microdust weaponry, which is the same sort of thing. Dust that mechanically bores into lung tissue and executes various pathological missions. Okay, micron-sized mechanical dust. And this is what people, this is like Cliff Carnicom's growing in Petri dishes now. So this is in the air now. There's micron-sized mechanical dust which creates nano machines, nano machinery. It's everywhere now. So yeah, I mean they're doing this, and as they say on that page, it's a wholly new class of weaponry which is legal. Now how they can say this is legal? Well, they write a new law to say yes, we can do this. We said so because we wrote it on this piece of paper here. See, it's got a fancy letterhead. That's how it becomes legal. I mean, it's ridiculous. We've got to look at what these people are doing.
Well, you know, it's funny. We were speaking with Alfred Weber yesterday, and he brought up the idea that this smart dust has been outlawed back in 1978. There's a document that outlaws it from being able to from being used against other nations. And I brought up the point, well, it doesn't say anything about used on your own population. And a light bulb went off, and he says, oh, and as a judge, you know, I took that as a big compliment. And he says, oh, wow, you know, I've never really thought about it from that loophole. Sure enough, even if it is illegal to use, it's still legal to use on your own populations.
Well, exactly. I mean, the United States government's been conducting experiments on its population for years. We know this. There's been all sorts of aerial spraying, all sorts of things they've been doing for a very long time. So, yeah, it's no surprise that they would be doing that. And it's no surprise they would put a loophole in there because it does sound very good. Oh, we've created this stuff, but we can't use it on anybody. Well, we can't use it on anybody over there, but we can test it on you guys.
Exactly, exactly. One thing about the law, this is how I really approach everything, is that they've left a loophole for themselves. And there's always going to be a loophole in anything, and it's just a matter of finding that loophole. So,
well, that's the beauty of legislation, is they just make it up. If they need a loophole, they just write one in there and they call it legal. You know, that's why it's legislation. It's just words. To me, like I said, there's only one law. That's do no harm. And I would say that all their legislation does is harm. So who really broke the law?
Right, 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 right. I mean, we're seeing that now here in the U.S., the National Defense Authorization Act, which says that they can hold people indefinitely. I mean, it's very clear in our Constitution, but you can't do that. Yeah, you just cannot do that. But they've crafted these ways around it. And then apathy starts to set in, and people say, well, I guess that's just the way it is. We've got to do that to get the terrorists.
Mm-hmm. You say, oh, yeah, we didn't think they could do that, but apparently it's legal. Yeah, it's legal because some guy wrote it down on a piece of paper. That's all it is. People find it difficult to get their head around that, but that's all legal is. It's legislation. That was just legislated. That which was written down on a piece of paper and told it was law. Okay, I've written this down, now you've got to do it. You know, it's ridiculous. It tells you exactly what they're doing. I mean, it mentions weaving biosteel from spider goat milk. You know, people have been,
I did skip through that, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, people have been debating whether that's a reality for years, but it is. I mean, carbon fiber they're getting from spider goats. So it talks about all of this sort of stuff. And like I said, it's a transhumanist manifesto. It's turning the human race into the Borg, and they're talking about infecting absolutely everything. You know, plants, flora, fauna, fungi, everything. Everything will be related to this nanotechnology. Everything will be controlled by nanotechnology. Everything will have, like smart dust through it, which have possible pathogens inside that can go and execute whatever they want in anybody. And like we were talking about earlier, they can control your brain and get rid of the five sense reality and have you dreaming a new reality. They can do all sorts of stuff. So it's very, very scary, and we need to pay attention to it. I think we do. It's interesting, like you said, because when it first came out, I thought it was just fake too. I thought it was a hoax. But when you really look through it, you go, no, this isn't a hoax. This is exactly where we're going. And not only that, we're already halfway there.
Right. On page 52, it says some interesting then-year biological warfare possibilities. And it lists all the different kinds of biological warfare possibilities. Aflatoxins, which would be a natural parts per billion carcinogen, airborne varieties of Ebola or Lassa virus. Oh, those are always fun. Binary agents distributed via imported products like vitamins, clothing, and food. Genomically individual or societal targeted pathogens. In other words, they're creating viruses and bacteria that will only kill off certain populations of people depending on what race you are. So race-specific bioweapons is what they're saying. And then long-term / fingerprintless campaign. In other words, nobody's fingerprints are going to be on this, so we don't even know who's going to be promoting, responsible for this.
Right.
It says, as opposed to shock and awe biological warfare, in which everybody knows who did it.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
yeah, and slow kill as well. And like, if you go to the next page, it says easily transmitted by aerosol. So it's back to chemtrails again. This is what the chemtrails are about. The chemtrails are a multi-platform delivery system for all sorts of bio and nanotech. And it, of course, it says no treatment available.
You know, we're really getting to the threshold here. I'm writing a song right now. I'm almost finished with it. It should be out next week, hopefully. But basically, the lyrics of the song are about the way things used to be and how we didn't have DHS, TSA molesting us and so on and so forth. But I, as I'm writing this song, I'm coming to the realization that they have to get rid of us. They have to kill us off. And I'm talking about our generation and before. Because these children that are growing up now, they don't know what it's like to live without all of this. And eventually, all this will be erased. And the idea of freedom will turn into exactly what they want it to be. And I think that's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for that next generation to step in who has never lived in freedom to be able to steer them in any direction.
Well, yeah, absolutely. They can already do it. The kids today are growing up in a virtual world already. Mm-hmm. You know, they do want us to die off. I mean, it's a slow thing. That's why it's being done over so many years. And the more we speak out about it, well, the better, I think.
Right. It takes a lot to kill a person. You know, I know this is terrible, but I've been watching the videos from Syria, what the rebels have been doing to the Syrian people. and I've seen beheading videos and all this stuff. And it really is actually difficult to kill a person. Now try killing, say, 5 billion people. That takes a while. It takes quite a while to kill off 5 or 6 billion people without losing complete control of the situation. So yeah, I mean, you're right. It would take 20, 30, maybe even 40 years to completely erase all of that freedom.
But you know what? They can't erase. They can't erase the genetic memory.
No, they can't.
But that's why they want to control the consciousness, because mm-hmm. the genetic memory will prevail and people will realize, hey, we are free beings and we were always free beings. And that is what our higher self is. I mean, we even saw it in a physical example with the slaves here in the United States. I mean, eventually they freed themselves mm-hmm. because it's in human nature to be free. Humans right. do not want to be controlled.
Well, that's why they have to create a virtual reality to put them in. And as it says in the documentary, long-term fingerprintless campaigns as opposed mm-hmm. to shock and awe. So you do this, it's a slow kill. And it isn't that they're killing us, they're transmuting us. They're turning us into something else.
Right.
You know, turning the human race into something else. And the older people will gradually die out as our lungs get more infected because we're breathing this nanotech all the time. I mean, everybody's got lung problems now. Everybody's having breathing difficulties and all sorts of stuff. I don't know anybody who isn't. So, you know, it's a slow process. But, yeah, they're doing it. And the danger is that, like you say, our children have never experienced the real world. And right. it's getting more and more that way. They just don't want to come out. They just lock themselves in on computers and get these headsets. They got Xboxes now with facial recognition. I mean, you know, it's going down that path. And we really need to pay attention. And a lot of it, like I say, this document is replete with nanotechnology. So mm-hmm. we need to pay attention. And this is what the chemtrails are all about.
To me, it seems like I'm sorry.
No,
it does seem to me like they are kind of pulling it out of the playbook of Brave New World, where in Brave New World, everybody is exposed to all kinds of chemicals and all kinds of horrible carcinogens and things while they're in the little tanks that they're growing them in. And they ask them why they do that. And they say, because we want people who are going to be resistant to radiation, to any biological agents. And then the ones that don't make it, well, they just weren't meant to make it. I think that's what they're doing right now, is whoever survives all of this nanotech and is actually healthy, even after being exposed to all this radiation and all this nanotech, deserves to live, while the rest of us are not. According to the eugenicists, we're not worthy to live.
That's a good point.
Well, it's not even that we're not worthy. We don't matter. It doesn't matter. It's an experiment. Let's just get this species and let's just do all this stuff to it and see what we come up with. If half, three quarters of the species dies along the way, it doesn't matter because we'll end up with this thing at the end that we want. You know,
right.
That's their attitude. They don't care. It's you can't even say that it's malicious, that they hate us and want us dead. They just don't care. They have no empathy. They don't think the way we do. I don't even know if I should be calling them they, but there's a group of minds, these pathological psychopaths that are in control of this reality, and they don't care about other people. It's not even an issue for them. It's they don't care any more about culling the human race than they do about culling a field of corn.
I disagree. I think they care very deeply about the end result. They want the end result to be a superhuman entity that is fully invested in the system, otherwise they'll be dead.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what they want. I agree with that, but I'm just saying, as far as the culling goes and the people who die off, they don't think about us. It's like cutting down a field of corn. It doesn't matter. So I wouldn't even say that what they're doing is malicious towards us. It's just there's no empathy.
Right, they, it's like a big hamburger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like the way a boot. And an ant, you know, so they just don't care about it. They don't think about it. We're not important. It's just a big experiment. They want to see what they're going to come up with. The human race is the laboratory.
I mean, this is bringing up a lot of questions, but it's also answering those questions as well. they have to live in this world. They have to live in the radiation. They have to eat the food. They have to live in the exact same environment that they're creating. But I guess they've created technologies to survive that. And mm-hmm. I guess that's what the end game is to make themselves able to survive and then keep the rest of us dead or as slaves.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, we're not having the same things as they are. You know, they're not subject to the same things that we are. I talked about this in Transformation as well. They set up certain biological environments in people. I can guarantee that the scientists that are in control of all this stuff, for example, don't have the vaccinations that we have, that don't eat the GM food that we eat. They don't eat all the products off the supermarket shelves that are containing all of these bioagents, you know?
Oh, the UK just banned GMOs in Parliament. It's okay for the people, but it's not okay to serve GMO in Parliament.
There you go. See? So they don't have the same genetic environment in their body. So when you look at all of this nanotech that's being introduced into people's systems, it stands to reason that when it gets switched on and it starts carrying out its programs, it's going to carry out different programs depending on the different genetic environment that it's in. You know what I'm saying? So you find the elite, they don't have the same genetic environments that we have because they're not eating the same toxins that we are. Even the Queen grows organic food in the gardens there. I mean, it's sure it's full of nanotech from the chemtrails and stuff, but her body would not have the same toxins and it would not be the same genetic environment as anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the people, the elite living in South America especially, they have armed personnel all over the place that will shoot you on sight if you even try to step foot on any of their crops.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're very, very careful about this. They know what they're doing, and they can use the rest of the species to carry out the experiment, and then when they figure out what's going to work, well, they can do it to themselves. They want the nanotech in their own body. They want transhumanism. They want to go down this path. They just want to be the ones that are in control of everybody else.
They just want to test the technology on us first and see what works.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You've got to have the guinea pigs, you know?
Wow. People are going nuts in this day and age. The police are just completely out of line and just out of their minds as well. They're shooting dogs. They're shooting people. People are biting each other's faces off. People are walking into people's homes, beating them senseless. And I mean, it's bad. Would you say that a lot of this psychotic mentality is a result of the DNA structure changing within people, of these nanobots inside of them? Are some people acting
irrational
as a result of some kind of syntax error that's being sent within them?
Well, like, I think it's all compounding. I think it's all part of the problem. That's probably part of it. I think a lot of the electromagnetic soup that people are swimming in is part of the problem as well. The social environments that they grow up in, I mean, broken homes, we've divided the sexes so much now, and kids are just born and thrown in orphanages, single mothers, just kids everywhere without proper social structure. They grow up with a chip on their shoulder. They get beaten up at school. They become a police officer so they can take out all their repressed urges against everybody else. They've changed the screening of police officers now, so you've virtually got to be a sociopath and have no empathy for anybody else to even get a gig as a police officer these days.
They won't even allow you to be a police officer in some places unless you have an IQ under 120.
Exactly, exactly. So they want robots. They want violent robot people who do what they're told, who succumb to peer group pressure, who think with a gang mentality, who've got a chip on their shoulder and want to go out and inflict themselves upon the rest of the world. That's what they do. So it's a compounding thing. You know, you can't say there's any one particular cause for it. It's just the trend that they want. It's the society that they want. They want to. I mean, if you're going to create this nanotech transhumanist future, you've got to have a crime force, a crime fighting force in inverted commas. It's brutal. It's going to be prepared to really, really keep the people in line, because a lot of people are not going to want this. There's going to be all sorts of rebellions against this sort of future. And you're going to need people to squash these rebellions. And that's what it's all about. You think about they want to create basically one global city state with one global army. Well, what do you need an army for if there's only one city state? Who's the army going to be fighting? Well, they're going to be fighting the people. They're going to be fighting those who are standing up against this transhumanist machine culture that's being superimposed over their reality.
I've got so many different movies running through my mind right now. Yeah, I know, Demolition Man, Judge Dredd. There was another one called Equilibrium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, they're the same. They've been telling you where they're going. Look, really, go and have a look at Man of Steel, the new Superman film. They tell you all the stuff in there. Like I said, consciousness uploaded to computers. You've got birthing centers or birthing chambers where people are genetically grown, like in The Matrix. They're designed to be what they want in that society. So there's no natural births. There's even one scene, there's a classic scene in there, I tell you, and there's a part where Superman's passed out and they enter this area where he's kind of dreaming, he's talking to this other guy, it's almost like the construct area in The Matrix, okay? And there's this real dichotomy about who's good and who's bad. The lines between good and bad are very blurred in the movie as well. And you're in this construct area and you're wondering who's good and who's bad, who the real controllers are. And you notice that Superman's wearing a t-shirt that's got Royals written on it. Like there's so much subtext in this film. It's ridiculous. It's, like I said, it's almost like a work of art for subtext. If you watch it, forget about the movie. Just look at the subtext. There's a lot in there.
Well, you were talking about the police officers being chosen specifically for their lack of empathy and then things like that. Have you heard of Emblem Incorporated?
Emblem, a little bit. I haven't researched into it, but I do know the name.
It's a company created and funded by the Gates Foundation, and it uses an operating system from one of Rupert Murdoch's companies, actually. And it is gathering and storing personal information of millions of U.S. school children on Amazon's cloud servers. And it not only includes student names, addresses, grades, test scores, and economic status and race, but it also goes into special education status and their disciplinary status and more. Do you think that they're going to use this information later on down the line to put people in positions of the police department or the military or things like that?
Absolutely.
I think so too.
Absolutely. They will, you know, notice what people's tendencies are and they'll steer them in certain directions through school so they come out the other side and when they leave high school, they'll get handed a pamphlet. Hey, here's a good career for you. We're from this company. We've looked at your results. We think you're pretty cluey and we'd like you to come and work for us. Hey, I pay a job, you know.
They hand you a gun and tell you to kill people, which is what you've wanted to do for years.
Absolutely. Oh, and you've been playing video games or doing it, so you're all completely desensitized to it anyway. So, yeah.
And that's another thing. The shooting video games and the RPG video games that are extremely violent, they've gotten more violent in the past year.
A lot of them are created by the military.
Yeah, they're created by the military, and I think a lot of it is to dehumanize and to make life not so big of a deal to these kids.
So when they take the soldiers and implant this virtual reality into them, as we're seeing now with the drone pilots who are flying the drones with Xboxes and they feel like they're playing a video game, and we've even had drone pilots coming out and saying how much regret and remorse and guilt they feel after the fact, but it's just kind of standard that you don't ever talk about it. Seems like it's leading into the exact same situation.
Oh, it is, absolutely. That's what the video games are for. They're so realistic. And, you know, you play some of these games, you look at the graphics on the screen, it's exactly the same as flying a drone. You know?
Wow.
So there's no difference. You can't tell the difference between playing Call of Duty and flying a controlled drone on Call of Duty than you can to actually flying a drone.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a movie from the 80s. I don't remember which one it was, but it turned out that they were playing this video game, but it was actually real.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm afraid that's what we're kind of headed towards. I had a point I was going to make and I completely forgot. I'm reading this document. I mean, it's just word for word, pretty much everything that people like us have been warning about for years. Right in front of you. And this has been available since 2001, or did it just now become available?
No, it just became available.
Wow.
Someone just found it now. I mean, obviously the presentation was in 2001. Although, I mean, it says 701 on the document. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? It could have been, it
July 1st.
It could have been July 1st. We just don't know. It could have, maybe it's supposed to come out on July 1st. Maybe it was July 1st last year. We don't know. It's hard to tell when it came out. But apparently it was penned by that, the guy at the Star, Dennis M. Bushnell. Apparently that's who gave the presentation. Difficult to know. But I mean, like I said earlier, it's all there now. People can see that this isn't a conspiracy theory. We have a serious situation on this planet. There are a certain group of people that are taking us down a direction which may not exactly be beneficial for mankind. And there's nothing wrong with technology.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. We'll have to see if we can get that guy on the show. I don't think he will, though. We'll be right back. Two more segments on the other side with Max Egan. This is really chilling information that we're going over with Max Egan. I've got to say, I mean, now that I'm so deep into this, half of me just wants to go back to sleep and eventually hang myself with my tie. The other half of me wants to keep on fighting. And the other half of me, which I know there's not three halves of me, but still, wants to just take Cherie off to some island and just live out the rest of my life in peace and enjoy myself. I mean, it's getting too much and too real at this point.
Well, it is. It's very real.
If they did activate all of these nanobots all of a sudden and some of the people reject them, or some of the people did exactly what they were supposed to do and the others did not, I guess rejecting them the other way.
Like a biological rejection.
Right. And all of a sudden, now that we have all these zombie movies which are gearing us up for some kind of zombie event, they were even doing zombie drills in Los Angeles. I'm not joking about that. They were serious about that. They were doing a zombie apocalypse drill in the Los Angeles area last year about this time. Or maybe it was a little bit later.
CDC had that zombie apocalypse warning.
Right. I wonder if they enact some of these, if some of these people will actually turn into these zombie-like mindless creatures, and there may be a situation that we have to go through. I don't know. The wheels are just turning in my head. Max Egan, any thoughts?
Well, it's possible. It's possible, mate. I don't think there'll be anywhere you'll be able to go, though. As it says on page 65, miniature ubiquitous smart minds. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, with this dust that they're putting in everything, it's just wild. And it's really interesting as well. They talk about how the human condition is limiting everything because we're large, we're heavy, we're tender, we're slow, you know, mentally and physically slow. And huge logistics to train us to do anything, rapidly decreasing to negative value. Humans have a rapidly decreasing to negative value, and that robotics can save lives and it enhances enforceability and all sorts of stuff. So, of course, the lives it saves will be the lives of the elite who are running the program. All the rest of it are irrelevant. We'll turn all you guys into robots because you're too slow and heavy and you can look after the elite. That's kind of where they're going with it all. You know, it's fascinating to see.
So regular human.
Well, they say that in the document.
Are a liability. Yeah.
Well, they are. They say that they've got a rapidly decreasing to negative value. Okay.
Well, I mean, when you look at most of our military being on some sort of psychiatric drugs, the rate of military suicides being higher than any of the wars we've been in the past 30 years, then you kind of have to wonder if that's not true. I mean, they are becoming a liability, and they're becoming less valuable than just not having soldiers at all.
Well, yeah, you know, that's where they're going. Well, it'll all be AI, you know, robotic intelligence. They talk about that in there as well. There'll be two flavors, traditionally IA rule-based and experimental behavior-based, and a combination of these is the best bet per Moravec, again, to produce artificial cyber life, which will possibly to probably be sentient but will not be anthropomorphic. Okay, it'll be in a virtual reality. It will not have a body. It'll be sentient, so you have a sentient computer that can think like a human being, behavior-based neural nets, you know, but not have a body. So you can see where they're going. You know, all the people that, you know, you still want to be alive, and we need you to think and create a future for us, and we need you to, you know, create, you know, ideas for us. Well, we'll just put you in a virtual reality where you think it's real. But then we'll go back to that previous part we were talking about, where they're going to, you know, the brain project, where they're going to block out all the five-sense reality and feed you this false reality and cause you to create things that they want you to create. So what they're talking about here is harnessing human brain power and human creative consciousness within a computer reality to be used to create what they want. You know, that's where they're going with it all.
It also gets rid of the possibility of any rogue minds deciding to think for themselves and create something, I don't know, to get humanity out of this situation.
Yeah, or any rogue bodies with arms and limbs that could actually throw stones at them.
That's right, because that's all we're going to have by 2025 to throw at them.
Probably, yeah, that'll be about all we've got left. We'll be, someone made the prediction of that once. I think it was Einstein. They said,
it was Einstein. He said that World War III will be, you know, he doesn't know what World War III will be fought with, but World War IV will be fought with stones.
Yeah, exactly. Sticks and stones. That's where we're going.
Yep. Yep. Agree. And I think the recent gun control moves in the United States, the recent merging of the North American Union and the European Union and all of this stuff, I think it all is slowly pushing us toward this world that we've been speaking about the past 2 hours. And it's scary to me, but at the same time, I see a lot of areas that we could expose early enough in the program so that maybe our children will not go along with this.
Here's the thing, though. Oh, go ahead, Max.
Well, people have just got to look at what the document's really saying. The two things that are most replete throughout the document are nanotechnology and warfare. Okay, mm-hmm. So if they're infecting everybody with nanotechnology and they're creating a singularity, what's the warfare all about? It's about opposing anybody it's about eliminating anybody who opposes the nanotechnology and opposes the Borg-like creation that they're making. It's all about warfare. So much of the document is about warfare, non-explosive warfare, natural warfare, possible weapon effectiveness, different types of weapons, weapons platforms, sensor munitions, all sorts of stuff. It's all about warfare, smart warfare, numerous to hordes, clouds, and swarms of smart dust. It's telling you right there what they're trying to do. It's all about nanotechnology and warfare. So you've just really got to look at it. Look at where they're going. It's about eliminating vast amounts of the population and turning what's left into this sort of a robot Borg-like species that serves the elite and serves the purposes of the elite. That's where they're going, and it's right here in the document. The only people who can do anything about it is us. The only people who can change this are the people of this planet. We have to realize what's going on here and realize who we are and stand up, come into our power and stand proud and change the direction we're going in.
That was my next thought, is solutions, because at this point, and after reading this document and seeing how much of this PowerPoint presentation, and how much of this PowerPoint presentation is already being used now, a sense of hopelessness has fallen upon me to the point where I'm thinking there's nothing that we can do about it. I mean, this is smart dust that everybody's breathing. There's no escaping from this. We are really on a planet. And I know a lot of people want to tune in and hear a show where, oh, yeah, you know, we can make a change and we can do this. And all positive, positive, positive. But I think we've finally reached that point to where it's too late. I mean, we can't even figure out who's spraying these chemtrails, much less what's and how to stop them. Any ideas?
Well, you know, again, you got to spread information. I mean, the people that are doing this are people. You know, you say the system's too big for us to fight, but it's populated by people. It's the ground we've got to reach, you know, the grassroots level. It's the people. We've all got to stop complying with this system. Just stop complying with it. You know, have public meetings. Get the word out to people, because if we don't, this is the future we're creating. And we're allowing it to be created around us, you know, because we're kept in this society. We're enslaved to debt all the time. You know, I don't know. It's very difficult, Chris. I mean, it's a huge, huge obstacle to overcome. But, you know, I believe we can do it. I have to believe we can do it. I believe that it's all opportunity. The fact that all of these things are coming out now, it's only half done, remember. Sure, they're spraying us now. Sure, we're well on the way to this happening. But now, it's all here. We've got the evidence that we've needed with these Edward Snowden revelations and with this document and just, I mean, everything. We've got the evidence here now. It's not a conspiracy theory. if we can get this out to enough people, then we can change the direction that we're going in. But, you know, humans have to stand up and say enough is enough. They've got to step into their power. No one's going to change this unless we are willing to participate. There's so many people saying, oh, we're going to have this ascension. There's this waves of energy coming. We're going to all become enlightened. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And everybody's sitting back waiting for Christmas to come, waiting for someone to come and save them. But really, they've got to do it themselves. They've got to understand that all the people that are doing this are just people, just like us. And it only happens because we go along with what they say, but all their rules are just words they wrote on pieces of paper. These people are just public trustees. They're all in breach of trust. Stand up and call them on it. Get your community to stand up and call them on it. You know, if there's one person in your community in a state of hardship, then your government's in breach of trust. It's as simple as that. And we need the power of community. We need people to stand up and pay attention. Hopefully, with these documents, if we can discuss these on enough public platforms the way we're doing and get this out to enough people, then hopefully we'll make a difference, you know. It's been very disheartening seeing the reaction to the Edward Snowden releases. I mean, why hasn't the whole government been impeached by now and dismissed? I mean, this is like Watergate on steroids. Nixon got
a friend, I have a friend that works for Verizon, and she gave me a call, and she says, no, Verizon isn't spying on everybody. The CEO sent us an email, and he said that they gave the government just enough information, but not enough for them to identify anybody, and blah, 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 blah. Then she started going into, well, I'm glad they're spying because it keeps me safe. I'm glad there's metal detectors at school because it keeps my children safe. That's the mentality that we're facing.
I know, that's what 9/11's done. That's why they staged 9/11, to create this fear culture in the United States. And the United States is shocking for its fear culture. It thinks everybody's out to get it, you know, and it's creating this horrible Borg-like future out of defense from everybody else. It's very, very strange. It's a very strange culture. And it's unfortunate, but I mean, if you look at this NSA data release, this is like Watergate on steroids. Nixon got in trouble for doing this to one hotel. And now you've got the NSA, they're doing it to the whole world. It's ridiculous. And they charge Edward Snowden with espionage for revealing the fact that the United States government has been conducting espionage against the entire planet. I think I see a double standard there. You know? It's ridiculous. And the only people who are going to do anything about it is the people themselves. They've got to stand up and realize what's going on. Your government's out of control. And, like, it's a big corporate government that's puppeteered by Europe anyway. So the Europeans have got to understand their governments are out of control, especially the British have got to understand that their royal family is just – these people are completely insane. And we've got to see what's going on here. It's all one big thing. But it's like the U.S. is kind of like the factory war machine sort of section, you know, the special ops division of the Illuminati, you know. So, yeah, we've got to look at what's going on here. The solution's got to come from the people, though. Because all the people that are doing this are just people, too.
Quick break, Max. We'll be right back. Final segment on the other side, right here on Truth Frequency. It would have been real interesting to see this presentation instead of just the PowerPoint bulletins, the very last page 113, and this document posted over truthfrequencyradio.com in the archive section in the description as well. The usual reactions to this presentation, it is in the too hard box, not being done yet by any, therefore will not be done. They would not do that, and we have to hope that they would not do that. Why go there? Cannot defend against it. And some belief, but agreement that there is too much there to disregard. Chilling. I mean, that is in itself. I agree with what Max said, that it's up to the people to make a change, but I think Pandora's box is already open and the cat is out of the bag, and there's I think we've missed the tail of the bull and we can't really grab it anymore. Hopefully I'm wrong. I don't know. You have to understand that when we deal with this information all the time, it's very easy to get the very heavy weight on our hearts and on our souls as a result from dwelling in this constantly. We probably should take a break and go do something fun between us, between Cherie and I. Mm-hmm. However, the answer would be for the soldiers not to fight. I mean, that'll get us out of the war. The soldiers refuse to fight unconstitutional wars. Okay, well, then they just inject robots to do it, or they inject drone pilots, or you know, any of that. The other solution would be to stop the chemtrail pilots to just stop spraying. Well, then they'll just do it robotically with drones, and then the scientists refuse to make this new information. Well, then they have this brain child, this brain computer that can create all of this for them and create all of these ideas. It seems like we are on a never-ending cycle, and it's not going to stop. It is very, very unfortunate. But we do have the human spirit, and that's what's very important for us to maintain and realize that we are humans and that we do have a spirit within us. And once we utilize that spirit, the human spirit is an unstoppable force. And that's the only shred of hope that I can see in this situation.
Well, yeah. that really is the hope.
Stop thinking of ourselves as animals as well, because an animal you can train to do what you want. An animal you can roast on the fire when you're done using it. You see them as a tool, as a way to survive. Stop looking at yourself as if you're an animal. You are not an animal. You are infinite consciousness experiencing life in your human body. You are much, much more than just a piece of meat to be used by a system. You want to think for yourself. You want to live for yourself. This system may be able to offer you unlimited power in your own
mind,
but it will never, ever be able to replace your spirit.
That's exactly what they're trying to destroy, is the human spirit, complete control over consciousness. And I can only imagine what happens to the soul. I mean, we can only speculate, of course, but you lose your humanity, you lose your human spirit, you eventually die. What happens to your soul? Does it get sucked up and turned into some kind of food for this big machine here on this planet? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. But if we can take a look at the robots that are sucking up the bodies of the dead soldiers to use for fuel, that agenda doesn't really seem that far-fetched.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, they already have the technology.
That's chilling.
They already have everything.
It is chilling.
Ready.
Max Egan, what do you think?
Yeah, well, it is of concern. And this document, it really does look like, or this presentation, it really looks like they're realizing that, yeah, we have opened Pandora's box, and all of this stuff is out there now. What are we going to do about it? Where are we going to take it? How are we going to control it? Because now it's out there. As they say on near the close of the document, page 101, they say the next level of concern is ubiquitous, cheap, micro to nano everything, sensors, musicians, weapons, swarms, hordes. This will be in everything. And this is a level of concern, because where's it going to go? And another very interesting thing they say in the document is that a longer-term vision of these changes would enable mapping from the present, but it's not at all clear how to get to there from here, as I do not know where there is. So they don't know where they're going. They really don't. They just know that this is what all of this stuff could lead to if it isn't reined in. And the only thing that's going to rein it in is people coming online. And we're seeing this around the world. We're seeing huge demonstrations in Brazil and Turkey and Italy and Greece and everywhere.
Well, we're not seeing them here in the States.
No, we're not seeing them in any Western countries. But hopefully documents like this, and hopefully the Edward Snowden case, if people can really start getting their heads around what's going on here, hopefully this will cause people to stand up a little bit and say, hey, enough is enough. You guys are just public trustees, and we don't want to go in this direction. You know, I think all of this stuff that's coming to light now, I think it's a gift. I really do. I'm glad that this document's coming out, this presentation's coming out, because, like I said, it does confirm everything I said in Transformation. And I was being very, very conservative in my presentation in that film, because I wanted to present it in a way that would sort of ease people into the fact that we have a serious problem. You know, a lot of people were quite shocked at the film and quite uncomfortable after watching it. and found it quite scary. But again, I see it all as opportunity, because if we don't know what the problem is, then we can't address the problem. These guys have opened Pandora's box, and it's just out of control. The only people who can rein it in is us. But we have to realize there is a problem. We have to realize the power we have, and we have to stand up and do something about it.
Can you go into page 93, if you have the document open in front of you? It's exploit CNN syndrome, and this seems to be the means to get from point A to point B. This seems to be the bridge here. Sink carrier via swarm attacks. Capture, torture Americans in living color on prime time. That's what we're seeing now. It's with a Snowden thing, too. If they capture Snowden and make a big deal about it on national television, international television, then there you go. Terror attacks. Oh, go on.
Yeah, and still that culture of fear, CNN syndrome. Imagine it talks about CONUS, you know, terror attacks within CONUS, you know, which is the contiguous United States, you know. So it's all based on the United States, you know. So this is the mechanism that's being used to do all this, basically. It's coming out of NASA. It's coming out of these Nazi think tanks that were created after World War II. And, you know, yeah, CNN syndrome. And they tell you what they're doing. They're going to manufacture the news to make people think in a certain way.
It is scary. What's coming up on Crow House? What are some of the topics you'll be talking about on future shows?
Look, I never think about them before I do the show, Chris, to be honest. I it just sort of comes out that way. There's all sorts of things on the horizon. Dave Ickes offered me a show on his TV channel that he's opening.
Very
nice. I'm wondering what to do about that. I mean, I don't even know if I have the capability of producing an hour-long television show every week. And the last thing I really want to do is become a television personality. But
we tried briefly, and I've got to tell you, it is a lot of work.
Yeah.
The production isn't that much. It's just after the fact, rendering everything, uploading it.
I wouldn't really worry about that. I mean, I could just do bites, and I could send them over there. They're going to have editors, and they'll have a whole studio set up, so I can send them the bites, and they can put the show together. I'm trying to think of a way of doing a show where I don't actually have to appear on it, because that's the last thing I want to do. But just any way we can get the word out to people, I think, is good. I've had a lot of flack from that. A lot of people don't like David Icke, and they go, oh, no, he talks about reptiles. You can't go on there. If you go on his station, then you're disinformation. And I went, well, you work for the government, don't you? You know?
Yeah.
I think that any way that we can possibly utilize to get information out to people is a good thing. So that is something that's on the horizon as well. There's lots of things on the horizon. I'm so busy that I don't even have time to hardly answer email anymore. I haven't been doing hardly any interviews because I've just got so much on. There's so many projects on the burner. It's difficult.
Oh, well, GCN has a satellite rented. They rent a satellite from ABC. And so because they rent a satellite from ABC, we're automatically New World Order because they rent the site from they rent the satellite from ABC. And because we're on GCN, we're automatically tied into that.
Well, that's how they deal. That's the way people's minds work, you know?
Anyways, Max, we love you. Thank you so much for your time, especially this early in the morning.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, kiss the one you love right now. You never know when the last time is going to be. And we will be with you till the end of the age. We love you guys.
Love you guys. See you next week.